And those mineral changes are going to help give these different rocks at different steps in the metamorphic process a different name. And basically what it boils down to is, as you add pressure and temperature, the most obvious thing that you'll see with your naked eye is the growth of a group of minerals called micas. And they're going to make the rocks look really glittery. Some metamorphic rocks actually look like somebody just poured a whole bunch of glitter on the table and glued it all together. So those are an indicator of higher and higher pressure and temperature. Non-foliated rocks can be a little harder to deal with. And when we work with non-foliated rocks, we tend to worry more about the composition. So what are the minerals that make up that rock? And these we tend to relate a little more directly back to their parent rock if we can do so, if we're not worried that fluids have come in and completely changed everything. So an example of a non-foliated metamorphic rock is marble. We like to make our countertops out of it. Marble is just metamorphosed limestone. So you've taken limestone that was deposited, precipitated in an ocean, and you buried it, and you went through a pressure and temperature change that converted that limestone into marble. So, one thing you should always be careful with is having anything that has an acid in it near a marble countertop, because limestones and marbles react fairly easily to different acids. Another non-foliated metamorphic rock that we'd like to identify by composition is quartzite. And we talked about quartzite a little bit ago. That's where you take a quartz sandstone and you bury it, and the crystals change their shape, and boom, we have a quartzite. And there are many other varieties of metamorphic rocks, all of which have unique compositions and textures that tell you something about that pressure and temperature change. Now, there's a very special case of very, very high temperature, high pressure metamorphic rock that kind of straddles the boundary between a metamorphic rock and going into a melted state at the beginning of igneous rock development. And this rock is called a migmatite, and it's nearly melted. It actually has a little tiny pods within it of recrystallized material, where the pressure and temperature got high enough that as that temperature went up, you managed to melt part of the rock. And these are really fun to look at. They have a very odd, bubbly-looking texture from all of these nearly melted areas. Now, where does metamorphism take place? This gets back to the question of, if these are forming deep underground, how come we can see them on our surface? And how can we figure out some of the processes that have affected these rocks? There are basically three places that metamorphism will occur. The first one actually can take place on our surface. And this is called contact metamorphism. It's really just what it sounds like. It's where you have a magma in a chamber or a lava flow that comes into contact with the rocks around it. And as it does that, it adds a lot of temperature, a lot of heat to those rocks. So when we look at contact metamorphism, temperature is going to be the biggest factor here. It's kind of like when you stick your hand on a burner. Okay, that is contact metamorphism for your poor skin.